Joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio in historic Tribune Tower on North Michigan Avenue is Rod Joy. Most recently, the Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate on the Chris Kennedy ticket. Rod, welcome, as always, to the Sunday Spin.
Thanks for having me back.
I wanted to have you on because I want to now that you've had a bit of time to kind of
decompress.
Yes. And you know, because I give, obviously I'm critical of politicians, but I give them a lot of credit because it's a lot of work and people don't appreciate having to be on all the time and, you know, thoughtful about what you're saying all the time and trying to give off positive vibes in meeting people and those kinds of things and doing it in five different cities every day. It's a tremendous amount of work, and being able to turn things off after a losing effort has just got to be a difficult thing.
Well, I'm proud of the race that we ran. Obviously, I'm disappointed in the outcome. But to run statewide, to run alongside Chris Kennedy, was truly a privilege. It was a challenge and opportunity of a lifetime. It reinforced some core beliefs. The first is that we live in a beautiful state. You mentioned traveling to five cities in a single day. You know, we traveled up and down Illinois. We had an opportunity to meet with and listen to voters of all colors, all creeds, and from all walks of life. We have a beautiful state. You know, there's a lot to love about Illinois. You know, our colleges and universities are internationally renowned. Our cultural institutions are second to none. You know, we're blessed with millions of acres of fertile farmland, great businesses, great people, and so many wonderful assets. But it also was eye-opening to see the amount of human suffering that's happening in our state. You know, I feel like I've learned a whole hell of a lot.
What are your takeaways?
Well, I think, some of them, you know, for me, the campaign was a powerful platform to heal and to learn and to grow. I felt like that was the same thing for Chris. You know, I saw him evolve as a candidate, you know, who he was as a candidate on that WTTW debate stage for the last debate was a vastly different candidate than who he was when he first announced. I also learned some brutal lessons about how power works in this state and in the city. I learned about what grabs headlines. I learned a lot about all of the political players. Those who take risks, those who only take orders, and everyone in between. You know, I feel like in many ways, Chris helped drive the narrative of this last election cycle. I think he really helped shine a light on and lift up some of the urgent issues facing our state. You know, I think we take a little bit of pride in the fact that we will have a new assessor in Cook County. You know, certainly lifted up our broken local property tax system and how that's taxing people, pricing people out of their homes. We had an opportunity to lift up issues of racial justice and racial equity, and to have the editorial boards of both major newspapers write about racial equity is something I'm proud of. We help shine a light on the rising tide of violence and gun violence in particular in our state. I think we help champion the need for a progressive income tax in Illinois, and not just a progressive income tax, but a way to get after achieving the effect of progressivity without opening up the state constitution. I'm eager to build upon those hard-fought lessons learned as I think about the next chapter, but I'm truly proud and honored to have had that opportunity.
I know that you, I mean, obviously one of the major issues that came out of that campaign was Chris Kennedy's assertion that Rahm Emanuel was leading basically a effort, a strategic effort to have poor and people of color leave the city. and through programs and those kinds of things, which prompted, you know, a lot of attention. It also prompted some criticism. And I know that you've talked about media coverage and,
yes,
and with that as an example.
Yes.
And talked about it critically.
Well,
which I'm welcome to hear.
That was a viral moment. You know, we can get into the specifics of what Chris said and how people responded to it. But one thing that I don't think people fully appreciate is Chris had been giving voice to those issues. Essentially, he was making the case that, and really connecting the dots between Bruce Rauner and Bruce Rauner's friend and former business partner, Rahm Emanuel, and the fact that under Bruce Rauner's leadership, the state of Illinois was getting smaller and wealthier, and under Rahm's leadership, the city of Chicago was getting smaller and whiter. Now, he had been saying these things, lifting up these issues from day one on the campaign. And Chris was of the mind that the media would pay closer attention to these issues after the new year, that when we entered 2018, the media attention on the campaign would intensify. And sure enough, I think it was on June 3rd. January 3rd.
It was 3rd. A long campaign.
On January 3rd, we had a press event, and that's when the media really picked up on the message of people being pushed out of the city of Chicago.
But you say connected the dots, and indeed, he had talked about those kinds of themes earlier, but this was the first time that he laid blame directly at Rahm Emanuel.
I don't think it was the first time. It was the first time that the media paid attention to it. You know, we've had events, large and small, where he asked him
about these issues, but then directly, he never directly laid blame until that point on the mayor of Chicago.
Yeah, I think,
and you were with him every day, day in and day out.
And I think people reacted, to the messenger and his motives. You really can't argue with the facts or the outcomes. You know, the city of Chicago has lost 250,000 black folks over the last 10 years. If you look at what's happening, you know, literally pick an agency, any agency in our city, the police department, where there's a brutal report released by the Department of Justice that showed instead of serving and protecting, in many ways, the police department was systemically abusing and neglecting people of color in the city, where you know, the city has shelled out hundreds of millions of dollars in brutality and wrongful and misconduct cases. You look at the Laquan McDonald shooting murder, where a 17-year-old young man was shot 16 times. You look at the schools where this mayor had the single largest school closing in U.S. history in 2013 and closed neighborhood schools in predominantly neighborhoods of color. You look at the water department where there is blatant racism at the water department. You look at what's happening with the assessor's office, where the assessor's office under Joe Berrios' leadership was a Robin Hood scheme where he was literally robbing the hood of resources. And we had a mayor who oversaw all of this. And, you know, personally, that issue is something that hits home for our family. You know, we experienced what's brutal and ugly and vicious about this city. We have options. You know, I spent the entire last summer thinking about this notion of the Great Migration, where black families move to Chicago, seeking opportunity, seeking safety, seeking a better life, and now the Great Exodus, where particularly black families who have choices, who have options, are often voting with their feet by moving away. And I think about this notion of the place, the places that we call home, and what it means to live free, and to live free from fear, and to live with dignity, and to live with respect. and where you can raise your family. And what's happening in Chicago, and what Chris Kennedy called out, was an obvious but apparently inconvenient truth about the racial implications of public policy.
And I want to ask you, given those thoughts, about what's next for you. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We're speaking with Rod Joy. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. We're speaking with Rod Joy. He was the Democratic Lieutenant Governor candidate on Chris Kennedy's ticket. Before that, you were Executive Director of Change Illinois. Certainly, you, as you've explained, you want to see some change, and you want to see some change at the top. Where does that fit in as far as you and running for mayor?
Well, I certainly think Chicago must change. I think we can and we must do better. I think we need a new vision for our city, a proactive, affirmative vision where we're all connected, where we all count, and where we rise and fall together. I'm going to fight hard to bring that vision into sharper focus. I also am really eager to organize. You know, Chicago is the birthplace of community organizing, made famous by the likes of Saul Alinsky, Jane Addams, Harold Washington, Lou Palmer, and so many others. One of the frustrations of the last election cycle was I really didn't get an opportunity to organize like I wanted to. I'm eager to build a movement in this city that's multiracial, multigenerational, multi-ethnic, a true rainbow coalition that's fighting for civic and social change. And I want to get more people involved in civic life. I was a big fan of the late, great Abner Mikva, and his motto was democracy is a verb. It's not something we have, it's something we do. And I'm committed to encouraging more and more Chicagoans to do democracy. We have 9 months and 20 some odd days until the February 2019 election. This is an opportunity for us to decide as Chicagoans, are we going to be subjects or are we going to be citizens? And I want to go about the business of encouraging the art of civic engagement. I'm looking for a candidate. You know, our family has been through a lot over the last 10 months. My wife, Alana, gave me permission to participate on the last campaign to run for office. Whatever we do next will be a family decision. But to be honest with you, I'm really looking for a candidate who has the right values, someone who has the right vision, someone who can unite Chicagoans, because I think that's the big issue facing our city.
Have you seen that candidate?
I think I've met with candidates who have declared, and I've quite frankly met with some candidates who are about to declare. I also have been making the case that Chris Kennedy has been essentially keeping residence in the city of Chicago since January. You know, our campaign headquarters were here. So I'm excited about what's coming, and I look forward to making an announcement about what's next in the very near future.
So you're still looking at it?
Yes, I'm still looking at it.
But as you said, when you were a candidate for lieutenant governor, you weren't able to organize in the way you wanted to. Is that because of the duties of a candidate that it kind of prevents that kind of grassroots organizing?
I guess there were a couple of things. One is I joined a campaign in the middle of a campaign that was well underway.
Right.
I think the other piece is, in many ways, there's great potential to rally around a progressive candidate and a progressive cause. The primary election, we had Senator Biss seeking to run to our left, and we spent a lot of time bickering about who's the most progressive
right.
ticket. You know, what's the most progressive ticket? I think there's an opportunity in front of us in Chicago where a lot of the groups that for whatever reason sat out the gubernatorial primary or weren't with us to engage them in a more meaningful way. And that's something that I'm incredibly excited about.
So September is, I believe, filing for mayor.
Yes.
So
imagine how much is going to happen between now and September.
What time frame?
I think by the end of this week, I will have made a decision about how I plan to participate in the municipal election.
So where's the news conference going to be?
Oh, you're hilarious. How about this? Huh? I'm sure we'll be keeping each other posted.
All right, fair enough. Well, as long as you keep bringing the donuts.
Listen, I bring the donuts every time.
Yes,
I usually try to bring those gourmet ones with bacon on top, but I just had to bring the D&D.
There's nothing wrong with Dunkin' Donuts. Yes. We appreciate it. Rajoy, thank you so much for joining me this morning on the Sunday Spin.
It's great to be back in the fishbowl. I'm going to miss this place, man.
Well.
And I have one request.
Yes.
Instead of fighting about the sign on the Tribune Tower,
mm-hmm.
I would like to propose that we take down the sign a short distance from here, the Trump sign, and keep up the Tribune sign.
That sounds like something a mayor might want to try to do.
Yes,
I'm just saying.
Yes, we could unite everybody there. Yeah.
Rajoy, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Rick.